Welcome to the Healthy Skin Show with Jennifer Fugo, where we're flipping everything you've been told about your chronic skin issues upside down and connecting you with alternative solutions your dermatologist never told you about.
Welcome back to episode 321 of the Healthy Skin Show. In today's episode, I'm going to dive into the problems or beef that I have with food sensitivity testing and how using the results from the test could actually make your skin and health worse. Now, if you feel surprised that food sensitivity testing isn't all it's cracked up to be, you're not alone because people are buying these tests in droves. In fact, one of the most well-known companies to market these tests made over $49.9 million in 2022. With wellness influencers out there sharing coupon codes and deals with the masses, these at-home testing kits seem like a godsend. And all you have to do is hand over a few drops of blood or a snippet of hair, and the company will tell you which foods are causing all of your problems. The issue is that the science of these tests is really shaky and ignores some fundamental truths about what actually causes leaky gut. So before you invest in one of these tests or even follow the results, you need to hear this. As a clinical nutritionist, I know firsthand from my work with clients that there is so much confusion when it comes to rashes and food triggers. And it makes a lot of sense. There's an overabundance of information online, from wellness gurus to Facebook groups full of skin rash warriors looking for answers and making claims based on what has and has not worked for them. It makes it hard to distinguish fact from fiction. Now, I totally appreciate the idea that food is medicine and that diet does play a role in your health. So I can certainly understand why the idea of cutting out certain offending foods to potentially heal your skin rashes and address other symptoms and health concerns is so alluring. Why? Because the idea of having a rash triggered by food sensitivities means that you can control your rashes simply by manipulating what you eat. Therefore, if you change what you eat daily, you have the power to control your skin and health. And I have to be honest, this line of thinking is highly problematic, and I'm going to lay out why. To be clear, I'm not saying I'm against changing your diet or using food as a tool to improve your skin or health. And food absolutely plays a role in your skin and overall health. Nutrients are tools that your body requires, as much of what is derived from food and even supplements is not something your body makes. The lack of these tools creates stress in your body, which now can't operate optimally. So when you nourish your body with protein, fiber, healthy starches, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, and fatty acids, in time, your skin can respond because your cells have the tools they need to thrive. And at the same time, it's equally possible that certain foods could be problematic for your particular case. An example of this would be having an IgE allergy or an intolerance to that food, which I will talk more about in a moment. As a clinical nutritionist, I find that generally people overly rely on food being the problem and often do so to their own detriment because they think that it's the only thing left to change or control. But food isn't always the answer to your skin rash puzzle. For one thing, you may be attributing your flare to food when really it's something else happening at the same time that you can't quite piece together. I've shared many times that food is just one of 16 root causes that trigger skin issues. And what many people claim is a food sensitivity is actually the result of your gut's inability to process the food correctly. I call this gut dysfunction. And it could also be a sign that your liver's detox capacity is struggling because of a lack of specific nutrients it requires to process certain things. A perfect example of this would be reactivity to salicylates. It also can be a sign of a gut microbiome imbalance as foods interact with this complex ecosystem in ways they're not supposed to. And to make matters even more confusing, any combo of these issues I just shared could be going on simultaneously. So it's often not just one problem. Before we go any further, this is a good time to clarify that food sensitivities are not food allergies. I realize that people often use the terms food sensitivities and food allergies interchangeably, but it's highly inaccurate, even if your practitioner described it to you as such, mixing up the terms. So don't be confused by the similarity in terms here. A food allergy is most commonly referring to an IgE-mediated immune response that for some can be potentially life-threatening, like when somebody has a peanut allergy, for example, and they need to carry an EpiPen. A food sensitivity, on the other hand, refers to an IgG immune reaction to a food that may cause less severe symptoms. However, this will never result in the need for an EpiPen or death due to anaphylaxis. Also, food sensitivities are not the same thing as food intolerances. Food intolerances are a reaction to a particular component of a food due to the lack of an enzyme in your body that is required to process that food. The most common example is lactose intolerance, where you can't eat dairy containing lactose in high quantities because your body has low or no lactase enzyme production. I would categorize this more as a gut dysfunction issue, since enzyme production is part of your body's digestive process. And therefore, a food intolerance is also not the same thing as a food allergy either. So you can see that these are three very distinct issues that are the result of very different problems in your body. So with all of this buzz online about food sensitivity testing, tons of people started sharing their experiences about cutting out foods, saying things like, "I cut out nightshades and it cured my rash." Because you aren't satisfied with the results based on your doctor's recommendations or want to do things more naturally. The concept of food sensitivities and cutting out various foods or even entire food groups that worked like magic for someone else caught fire. Many nutritionists and other practitioners started labeling certain foods as bad, and they claimed that foods could elicit an IgG response to the partially undigested food proteins that slip in between gut cells and enter your body, thereby triggering an IgG immune response that could, in theory, trigger inflammation that causes various conditions and health complaints. And this is where the food sensitivity testing industry was born, with loads of money behind it marketing directly to you and your frustrating symptoms. These companies claim that their tests can measure your body's IgG response to certain foods and tell you which ones to avoid. And then all of your problems will be solved once you eliminate said food from your life. The problem is, food sensitivity tests are not accurate. In fact, there's little evidence to support the idea that IgG testing can uncover food sensitivities. Both the American Academy of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology and the Canadian Society of Allergy and Clinical Immunology warn against using these food sensitivity tests as diagnostic tools. What's more, food sensitivity testing results are highly changeable depending on what you're currently eating. So it's not uncommon to see all of your favorite foods that you eat daily show up as moderate or even high food sensitivities, leading you to think that they are now bad for you. Also, these food sensitivity tests can produce some really weird results, telling you you're sensitive to things you've never eaten before. I've seen this so many times in my clinical practice that I've lost count. And what's even more misleading are those daily foods you commonly consume that got flagged on the test. If you follow through and remove them, you shouldn't be surprised that a repeat test in a few months will likely show that you are no longer reactive to them. But you'll also discover that you're now sensitive to the foods in the new diet plan you've been following. This then increases the list of foods to restrict and puts you on a very slippery slope to disordered eating. How frustrating, right? Well, this shift in results happens because the IgG markers for those daily foods present in your blood are just a normal response to eating that particular food. And if a bunch of foods do show up as moderate and or high sensitivity foods, the results should potentially be viewed more as a sign of leaky gut, also more formally known as gut permeability, than anything else. The foods themselves do not cause leaky gut. So these tests and the restrictive diets they encourage needlessly contribute to food confusion, food fear, nutrient deficiencies, and can potentially lead to developing IgE anaphylactic allergies to foods that are removed from your diet. Plus, there's also the chance of masking an eating disorder under the guise of healthy or clean eating, which is especially significant if you have a past history of an eating disorder or disordered eating. One type of food sensitivity test that is the worst and the most pointless is the type that uses a hair sample. This is such an utter waste of money because despite all of the marketing promises that you can tell food sensitivities from hair, it is simply untrue. Tests that require a piece of hair are by far one of the biggest scams out there. And I get a lot of questions from listeners wondering if I recommend the hair food sensitivity test and could potentially build a protocol from it. And the answer is no. The same goes for the blood test for food sensitivities. I very much understand wanting to get to the root causes of what's driving your health problems, but neither of these tests will do that. So if you're going to spend the money on something, I'd rather see you use it on testing that can actually help you rather than waste the money. I realize that many wellness experts promote these types of food sensitivity tests and offer coupon codes. And to be honest with you, that's a red flag that the test you're buying is not a clinical lab and won't be useful if you're serious about a root cause approach. When I did food sensitivity testing back in 2008, my nutritionist at the time told me that I had become very sensitive to eggs because I ate them every day. Now, this pervasive myth is still alive and well, despite the fact that this is not true. You do not become sensitive to foods or intolerant of them because you eat them often, even daily. Nor can you make yourself sensitive to something by eating it so frequently. The underlying issues that cause some level of sensitivity include gut permeability, also known as leaky gut, which is typically triggered by some combination of gut dysfunction and gut microbiome imbalances. While removing foods might reduce symptoms, if you even have any, it will not make your gut less leaky, and it will not fix the issue. So no, you can't heal leaky gut simply by eliminating foods, since it doesn't address the underlying reason that your gut became leaky in the first place. This confusion about leaky gut is something that the food sensitivity testing companies count on. While yes, there's definitely a leaky gut skin rash connection, leaky gut itself isn't a root cause of your skin rashes. You have to dig deeper than that. As I've already shared, it is true that a leaky gut can increase your reactivity to certain foods. And the triggers of this increase in gut permeability include gut microbiome dysbiosis, which is basically an imbalance of your gut bugs and can include unfriendly groups of certain gut bug organisms. Now, you can also have gut dysfunction, and that can include low stomach acid, low digestive enzyme output, slow motility or constipation, or even diarrhea. Chronic frequent NSAID use, NSAIDs are drugs like aspirin, gluten exposure with a tolerance to gluten being lost within the small intestine, and unmanaged stress or trauma, as well as high intensity exercise and workouts. There's also some interesting information that's come out on the connection with glyphosate exposure in the food supply also potentially being a player. This is why blaming food and solely focusing on only eliminating foods isn't the best nor most effective approach, unless, of course, you've got a confirmed IgE allergy to that food. It's crucial to identify and address the actual root cause issues. Because again, you can't heal a leaky gut simply by avoiding certain foods. That being said, even if you do find that you have a food sensitivity, the plan cannot just be to stop eating those foods for the rest of your life. Over-restriction of your diet for longer than 3 to 6 months can actually cause a significant drop in nutrient intake as well as diet diversity, which in turn also causes a drop in your gut microbiome diversity. It can also make you very afraid to reintroduce those foods. And if you strictly removed one or more of the top 9 allergens for about a year or more, it's best to work with an allergist using an oral food challenge for reintroduction. Unfortunately, we're seeing more individuals develop allergic reactions to these foods who have strictly eliminated them for a year or more. In fact, we've had 2 clients in the past year who this has happened to. They were not previously allergic or sensitive to the foods, and upon reintroduction, they developed a severe allergic reaction, now requiring an EpiPen. Also, if your diet is becoming more limited because you feel like you're becoming increasingly sensitive to everything, you need to seek help from a qualified nutrition professional. This is something we offer in my practice to help guide clients back to a much more diverse diet while addressing skin issues with a root cause approach. Again, I don't recommend food sensitivity testing. We don't ever ask clients to get this type of testing done. I'd rather you spend the money on a good stool test rather than any type of food sensitivity testing, including the MRT. The bottom line is that food sensitivity test companies will take advantage of your vulnerability as well as influencers who promote them. And they use this promise of waking up without a rash you've been living with for so long, which is powerful. When you're struggling, you'll happily bypass any doubts about effectiveness or price because you want so badly for it to be true. And as a clinical nutritionist who has helped thousands of clients worldwide with chronic skin issues, food sensitivity testing at home isn't a worthy investment, especially when you consider that the science is super shaky for those tests and that following the results will not heal leaky gut since food sensitivities aren't a root cause problem. And if a practitioner recommends food sensitivity testing to you, ask what the benefit would be, how long they plan on having you eliminate these foods, and if they plan to guide you through the process of reintroducing foods. It's my belief that if a practitioner recommends any sort of food elimination, especially based on these tests, they are responsible for helping you reintroduce the foods with a definitive plan, not just to tell you, add these foods back into your diet. Reintroducing foods is an actual process. It's not a skill most people know how to do unless they have that sort of training, especially once you develop a fear of food. So at the end of the day, I don't find food sensitivity tests helpful, and they are only adding to the food confusion and food fear and potentially even disordered eating. Plus, the cost of food sensitivity tests is ultimately a waste of money, which could be better spent on tests that are clinically relevant. So instead of a food sensitivity test, here's what I recommend starting with when it comes to uncovering the root cause of your rash. So first of all, I would love for you to test your stomach acid, especially if you suspect that your rash is triggered by the foods you eat. And I'll share in the show notes my DIY low stomach acid test guide that you can use at home to figure out if this is one of the factors messing up your gut. Number 2, add in an appropriate digestive aid before each meal. And we've got a couple of great options like Digestate or Digestate Plus available over at quellshop.com that are really helpful in making sure that foods are properly broken down so you can ultimately absorb the nutrients. And number 3, consider getting a clinical stool test as part of your plan to figure out what's going on under the surface. They are much more comprehensive, but since there are so many stool test options out there, I've actually put together a guide that I'll put into the show notes about how to pick the right one. I hope this clears up any misinformation about food sensitivity testing and gives you some better options instead. Now, if you've got questions or thoughts to share about this, or you want to see the resources I've put together for you, head on over to skinterrupt.com/321 so we can keep the conversation going. Then share this episode with someone you know who's considering doing a food sensitivity test or who might be struggling with their diet after doing one. Before you head off for your day, make sure to rate and review the Healthy Skin Show and then hit that subscribe button so you can tune in each week for new research, clinical strategies, personal stories, and the inspiration you need on your journey to rebuilding healthy skin. And then let's connect online. I'm at Jennifer Fugo. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I look forward to digging deeper with you in the next episode.